This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The Senate Finance Committee approved by unanimous voice vote President Joe Biden's pick, Katherine Tai, as the next U.S. Trade Representative, sending the nomination to the full Senate for expected final confirmation. The Biden trade agenda is far from being in place, with the early White House focus on the pandemic, but Tai won a swift vote of confidence from Senate Finance as Biden's USTR. Top panel Republican Mike Crapo didn't like all of Tai's answers to written questions, but he still voted for.
Whether it is our efficient farmers or our cutting-edge technology, we share an interest on both sides of the aisle in making sure that they get access to all the customers they can. Moreover, I agree with the chairman, noting that one theme from Ms. Tai's hearing was enforcement, enforcement, enforcement. That's of major concern to every member of this committee.
A former USTR negotiator and House Ways and Means staffer, Tai vowed last week a bipartisan approach to trade, starting with the USMCA, worth added billions for U.S. agriculture.
The United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement is a uniquely bipartisan accomplishment. It represents an important step in reforming our approach to trade. We must all continue to prioritize its implementation and success.
And she also pledged to do so with other agreements like the China Phase One Agreement.
I previously served as America's chief enforcer against China's unfair trade practices. I know firsthand how critically important it is that we have a strategic and coherent plan for holding China accountable to its promises and effectively competing with its model of state-directed economics.
China sharply boosted its buys of U.S. farm goods in recent months while falling short of its 2020 Phase One commitments, largely due to the pandemic, by some $6 billion. An editorial by Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack supports passage of the American Rescue Plan. The legislation passed by the House and up for consideration in the Senate is President Biden's $1.9 trillion economic relief package to help the nation recover from the coronavirus pandemic. Specifically, Vilsack says the plan is one of the strongest pieces of legislation in recent memory dedicated to addressing hunger and food insecurity. Vilsack says hunger has increased throughout the pandemic, with as many as 30 million adults and 14 million children living in a household where they may not always get enough to eat. Further, the pandemic has exacerbated long-standing disparities in food insecurity. The American Rescue Plan provides funding to the USDA to expand federal nutrition assistance programs like the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, and a complementary program that helps mothers and children under five and other emergency benefits to children, seniors, and the disabled. In the latest national livestock news, the National Pork Producers Council Wednesday elected new officers and members to its board of directors at the National Pork Industry Forum. Jen Sorensen was introduced as the 21-22 NPPC president. For the past decade, Sorensen has been with Iowa Select Farms, an Iowa farming business that markets more than 5 million hogs a year. Sorensen takes over for Howard Roth, a hog farmer from Wisconsin who becomes NPPC's immediate past president and chairman of the council's trade and nominating committee. Terry Walters of Minnesota was elevated to president-elect. Scott Hayes of Missouri was elected to serve as NPPC vice president, and Rob Brenneman of Iowa and Jeb Stevens of Indiana were elected as new members of the board. Additionally, delegates passed two resolutions, including one supporting CME Group's pork cutout contract, which was introduced in November of last year. Delegates also passed the resolutions to delay an increase to the contribution rate of NPPC's strategic investment program until July of 2022. In the latest crop news now for your Thursday, Bayer Crop Science has a free training available to farmers and applicators using the Xtendimax herbicide with vapor grip technology and the new Xtendiflex soybeans. A company spokesperson says, "We will continue to support our customers to help with proper stewardship so they can achieve great weed control and strong harvests." Bayer offers a variety of free training options, including live webinars every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central through the end of March. self-guided online models, and limited in-person workshops for customers unable to connect online. Bayer will continue offering training up until the application runoff dates this summer. Applicators can sign up for training at RoundupReadyExtend.com/training. Extendamax herbicide remains a restricted-use pesticide, and all certified applicators must undergo annual training to use the technology. The Bayer-led trainings explain the new label requirements in a clear and easy-to-understand way. Bayer has also updated the ExtendamaxApplicationRequirements.com webpage, which details the application requirements. And farm income and agricultural credit conditions have improved significantly, according to the agricultural lenders across major portions of the country in the fourth quarter of 2020. Despite turbulent conditions related to the ongoing pandemic, prices of several agricultural commodities increased sharply in the final months of the year. Dramatic improvements in crop price drove the sharpest turnaround in agricultural lending conditions in more than a decade, according to the Kansas City Federal Reserve Bank. On average, farm loan repayments increased for the first time since 2013. The rate of loan repayment increased from a year ago in all participating Federal Reserve districts except Dallas, with the fastest pace of increase reported in the Minneapolis and Chicago district. Other financial indicators also shifted quickly in the fourth quarter as borrowers experienced relief from previous years of financial stress. On average, loan demand contracted at the fastest pace since 2013, and fund availability increased at its fastest pace since 2013 as well, according to agricultural bankers. In the latest State of Illinois Ag News for your Thursday, farmers and landowners have until the 15th to make a couple of farm program decisions, but they can join a University of Illinois webinar about the crop insurance and ARC and PLC decisions today at 11 a.m. Ag economist Gary Schnittke will detail the numbers, then talk about his recommendations for crop insurance, including ECO.
Given the premiums on those, I think most farmers may think about the 90% policy. I would first tell farmers to keep their RP coverage as high as they can, that they feel like they can keep it, 80-85% in northern and central Illinois, 75-80 in southern Illinois, and then think about adding ECO on top of it.
Schnittke says ECO is not a game changer for crop insurance, but that it will offer good risk protection. Those wanting to learn more about crop insurance costs and options can join Illinois' Gary Schnittke at 11 a.m. this morning for a free webinar. The details are on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. In other state ag news, the American Farm Bureau Federation recently concluded a study on COVID's impacts on mental wellness in rural America, and a Piatt County nonprofit is analyzing its results. The Piatt County Mental Health Center's executive director, Tony Kirkman, calls the report fascinating as it breaks down the study, which surveyed the farming community specifically.
There was a recent report that came out from the American Farm Bureau Federation in December of 2020. And basically what they were wanting to do is to survey individuals, particularly in the farming community, to see how COVID has impacted their mental health. You know, it's a fascinating report, so I would encourage your readers, if they like stats, it's a really good look at what counties like DeWitt and Piatt, you know, are going through. And so, you know, they are showing that one of the stats just says 3 in 5 rural adults, 61%, says that COVID-19 has impacted their mental health a lot or some. And that's kind of what we're seeing, too, is, you know, a significant rise in referrals and self-reports of heightened anxiety and depression.
A recent study also showed an increase in binge drinking by adults over the age of 30. Kirkman says that is not going to help anyone's situation, and he hopes that people can try to focus on the positive things that COVID has brought to bear. In other related ag news, this time on the weather, plan on hearing plenty of thunder and maybe even seeing a lot of lightning in the sky this spring. That's the message from the National Weather Service, who warns that the spring storm season looks like it will be a very busy one. Chris Miller at the office in Lincoln says the winter we've experienced is setting us up for an active storm season once spring arrives. This week is also Severe Weather Preparedness Week, and Miller is refreshing everyone on the terminology you might see or hear during severe weather.
I want to make sure that people are aware, again, of some of the terminology as far as when tornado watches or severe thunderstorm watches are issued. Those are for large areas. That's usually, for maybe most of the state of Illinois. Could even be, a large part of Missouri, Illinois, Indiana. And really what we're doing is we're telling people this is kind of your first heads up that there's going to be storms in your area, and some of these could get kind of nasty. Some of these could have the high wind, the hail, and possibly tornadoes. When we issue warnings, we typically issue warnings for portions of counties, maybe a whole county if it's a big storm, but portions of counties to say, for example, eastern DeWitt County would be in a tornado warning. And we'll list the towns in the path of that storm. And if you are one of the towns listed or nearby, even if it's just a few miles away, we're asking people, look, this storm means business. It's heading your way. Some people say, oh, I always hear tornado warnings, and nothing ever happens. Well, no, when nothing happens, that's a good thing. But the other thing is really when we look back at the statistics, there aren't that many warnings that go out. In fact, last year, if we look back at pretty much any county in central Illinois, most areas we only issued, one or two tornado warnings for the entire year. So if you hear one of those warnings, that's time for you to seek shelter. That means that the storm is approaching.
Severe Weather Preparedness Week, again, this week is intended to get people thinking about their responses to severe weather, like where they would go in their home. But if you're in public, Miller indicates a lot of stores and buildings will have plans posted. In general, he encourages finding protection near the exterior of wherever you are. Miller implores the public that when a tornado warning is issued near you, to still seek shelter. He says the high winds from that storm could impact several miles around it and cause damage. And in a USDA report, McLean County, Illinois is number one in the U.S. for corn and bean production. McLean County corn production last year was 63 million bushels, with soybeans at 19.2 million bushels. We joined Mike Doherty, senior economist and policy analyst with the Illinois Farm Bureau in Bloomington.
We are not always number one in both crops. We do grow them on a 50-50 rotation, but sometimes Iroquois County beats us out on soybeans. There's a county down in Mississippi along the Mississippi River, in the state of Mississippi, that south of Memphis, that sometimes can beat us, and there's one over in Iowa. So we aren't always number one in both crops. So this is great bragging rights for us.
Iroquois County, between Champaign and Kankakee, came in a close second at 5% less corn production, and soybeans were behind by about 13%. And finally, we'll take a look at local ag news here on your Thursday. Don't forget that the Macoupin County Ag Education Foundation is still offering scholarships for the upcoming school year for students wishing to pursue an agricultural major. The Macoupin County Agricultural Education Foundation is offering the scholarships to provide encouragement and financial assistance to Macoupin County residents and or students of a Macoupin County high school who displays well-balanced attributes of good citizenship, commitment to activities, and scholastic ability. The applicant must be a graduating high school senior or a current college student who plans to attend or is currently attending an Illinois college, university, or career technical education program and is currently majoring in agriculture. Applications are available through a Macoupin County High School guidance counselor, ag instructor, or from the Macoupin County Farm Bureau directly. An electronic copy can be requested by contacting the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office by email or phone. That email is mcfb@frontiernet.net, and their phone number is 854-2571. All applications must be submitted to the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office by the last Friday of this month, March 26th. And don't forget, this coming Saturday, the Madison County Fair Board will be having a drive-through chicken dinner fundraising event for this year's fair. Again, it'll be held on Saturday evening from 5 to 7 at the Madison County Fairgrounds in Highland. $10 gets you 6 pieces of chicken. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here on a Thursday morning, but remember you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Thursday morning, March 4th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.